Where you wanna be, where your life is, This call may be recorded or transcribed.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done because you will do it. That's why we have much love and respect for you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday from 7 to 9, Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny. Monday and Wednesday, 7 to 9, Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny out of New Orleans. Excuse me. Thursdays, tomorrow, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, from 5 to 6 on Sunday. Sunday at 7, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba has been taking our people home to the motherland many, many times over these last few years. I can't remember the totals in the hundreds. So right on to Brother Bomani. The upcoming trip is Tanzania, November 20th to December 1st of this year. This is his last trip this year coming up, November 20th to December 1st. February 12th to February 23rd, 2026, Liberia. April 1st to April 13th, 2026, Kemet. June 10th to June 22nd, Ghana. October 1st through October 12th, Kenya. November 19th to December 30th, Azania. And then in 2027, April 1st to April 12th, 2027, Tanzania. June 10th to June 22nd, 2027, Ghana. The prices for these are very reasonable. And of course, you lock them in. It could go up, and it more than likely may go up. But if you put something down now, or pay on it now, or take it but buy it now, that's the price that you're going to get. The Tanzania trip is $4,700. The Liberian trip is $45. The Kemet trip is $46. The Ghana trip is $46. The Kenyan trip is $45. So it's the Zinya, $45. And then Tanzania and Ghana, $47. So the brother has, they're very reasonable. That's Brother Bomani Tayemba, Africa for the Africans. And the future trip also is September 30th to the 11th, 2027, Kenya, and November 18th through November 29th, 2027, Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe. Three countries, November 18th through the 29th, 2027, Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in our youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Check out Africa for the Africans. Excuse me, Africa for that. Check out Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha Incorporated.org. They do work here in the Atlanta area and on the continent in Ghana with the Kashi Project. Habesha. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Been doing outstanding work, Brother Peter Brown. Been doing outstanding work on the continent. They deal in the four areas of human necessity, of human essential. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. He has 12 projects going on in six countries, with over 172 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The Minister of Wellness, brothers and sisters, go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Check out the products he has, things that he's offering, theministerofwellness.com. The Moses West Foundation and the AWG atmospheric water generating technology that he has developed. The AWG. Check out the website, themosesweftfoundation.org. themosesweftfoundation.org. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta on the West End on Ralph David Abernathy. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, they serve delicious smoothies and vitality drinks and all kinds. They have a lot of dry goods and pastries. They even sell vegan dishes on the weekends, on Saturday and Sundays. So check out Wadada's. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Natural Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, I just was in the Black Dot yesterday talking with Brother Gazimdi Ajamu, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And he said that the Medu bookstore is one of the oldest still running bookstores in our country. In this country, let me be real. in this country, still one of the longest running bookstores. And we got to hand it to Mama Nia for her tenacity and, you know,
beautiful sister. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. That's right, Brother Gazem Deyajamu. His book is out, which is Trusting the Eyes Behind You. Trust, a book on about trust, integrity, and so forth. And we'll be talking with Brother Gazem Dey Monday, this coming Monday, talking about his book and what he's doing. His coffee shop, the Black Dot Cultural Center, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar is located 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. That is east of Atlanta. Take I-20, head east, get off on exit 74. Take a left, and you're on Main Street. You're on Main Street going, now you're going north. Stay north, and about a mile and a half, and on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. If you want to give them a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. Jump back in your ride. Head back in the opposite direction. Now you're going south on Main Street. And once again, jump on the interstate, I-20, and once again, go east. Make a left and go east. And the next exit, exit 75. Take that exit, make a right, stay on that street, three lights, and make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. All right, family. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia, open Tuesdays through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Brother Abija, he's got it going on. He has it's a one-stop shop there at the Cultural Village, Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. Check him out. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. If you got the time and you're driving through Macon, please stop. It's worth it. He has furniture. He has clothing. He has jewelry. He has healthcare products. He has a vegan restaurant on the premise. That's right. I mean, he's got it all. Brother Abija, right on. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, is working with our children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Check out the website at SONJEAYITI, Sanjay-Haiti.org. They deserve to be supported with the great work that she's doing with those young people in Haiti. Ah, yeah. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 1st. Hardship reveals personality. Kiswahili proverb. Character is at the spiritual and mortal core of our salvation as a people. If it does not identify us as people, then we do not exist. It is not good in us. If it is not good in us, we do more than serve others. If it is weak, we are weak. However, if it is cast in our traditions, designed to follow our way and improve on what was given us in the beginning, we become strengthened as African people. For character communicates our Africanity. It is how our humanity is expressed. Without it, we become even less than those proud of being suicidal spirits. As warriors, we have to understand that in an African reality, character is inseparable from what one thinks, says, and does. Each of these complements the others and shows the quality of your character through its expressions. As a person's eyes are a mirror to their soul, our thoughts, words, and deeds allow others to see into the true spirit of our character, whether kind or depraved. Some call character personalities because one's character is his or her personality on display, and vice versa. Unless deceit colors the impression we give to others, which is very characteristic of Europeans and Europeanized individuals, then one's personality should be a true representation of one's character. Good, strong character is evident, regardless of condition. Similarly, bad, weak character cannot hide. It is in the most difficult and trying of times when we are able to see why it easily is hidden when life is easy. Affirm. Ashe. Affirm. Hardship reveals the strength of my will to be African. Ashe. Hardships reveals the strength of my will to be an African. July 2nd. The most difficult thing to get people to do is to accept the obvious. Great ancestor, Dick Gregory. Western science has long recognized that individuals who find satisfaction or pleasure in repeatedly harming others, be they humans, animals, plants, or things in, other things in the universe, have low self-esteem. With this in mind, we have to consider the fact that what normally or disproportionately applies to individuals in a group or nation applies to that group or nation of which they are a part of that group or nation. For it is in the culture in conjunction with the society and has a creation of the cultural seele which fosters, nourishes a particular personality. Therefore, we can safely conclude as African social scientists that European society has low self-esteem. Its history of ongoing wanton violence against others, specifically and especially defenseless others, and those who simply want to live in their own space in peace, reveals this innate mental illness. European social scientists, in an effort to deflect blame from their faulty acele and project their abnormal traits on all of humanity, attempts to attribute these culturally violent tendencies in their population and those socialized in their cultural context to the groups they have victimized. They blamed it on us. I can't remember listening to Bobby Wright talk about one of the, at the time they were trying to, you know, blame us for everything. Even, was that some kind of disease of the mind for trying to run away from slavery? These Caucasians. But he said, you know, they act the way they act because they had to live to a depraved people, they had to live with and by a depraved people like us. They blame their inadequacies, their violent tendencies, and the stuff they do on us. Its history of ongoing wanton violence against others, especially defenseless others, and those who simply want to live in their own space in peace, reveals their innate mental illness. European social scientists, in an effort to deflect blame from their faulty and project their abnormal traits on all of humanity, attempt to attribute these culturally violent tendencies in their population and those socialized in their cultural context to the groups that they have victimized, disempowered, and defined as deviant, with a myriad of erroneous racist theories which make their schizophrenic thought and behavior appear as if it's not part and parcel of their unique, innate, degenerative matter. Affirm, I have moved beyond the analytical limits of the propaganda of a few bad apples. Affirm, I have moved beyond the analytical limits of the propaganda of a few bad apples. There's just a few bad apples. Most of the Caucasians is good people. You know, loving. There's just a few bad apples. No, it's them. It's them and There might be a few people who have stepped out of the imposed boundaries that they've set and looked at their people and said, this is terrible. This is who we really are, and articulated that. But even at that, you know, responsibility for you to do something is yours. But yeah. Yeah. So what we're going to do today, like I said, this Monday, this program, Brother Kazimdia Jammu, second book, Trusting the Eyes Behind You. Trusting the Eyes Behind You. Trust transforms the self, our relationships, our families, and our community. Trust. Yeah. So we'll get off into that. Have a good conversation with my good brother, Brother Kazimde Ajamu, owner of the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia. Be a good conversation, I'm quite sure. Hope you'll be here with us on Monday to deal with it. And of course, Friday is the 4th of July. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Give us a call in on Friday, the 4th of July. Yeah. Since this bill has been passed, I was, you know, I have to watch the news. I have to stay abreast of what's happening. And of course, I hate to even, I don't even like to call it what he says, because it's not a great, big, beautiful bill. And I hate when he does that shit. In fact, this is a very disastrous bill. And they've been knowing it from Jump Street. And yet, the Republicans, yeah, there was a couple of them. That's why it was tied up in the Senate. And the deciding vote, of course, was J.D. Vance. And of course, he's going to vote in the affirmative for the bill. And but of course, it was Gloria Murawski of Alaska. Trump puts a few things in there into the bill to ease. Instead of saying, no, this is not going to be bad just for Alaskans. It's going to be bad for the country. So I'm not going to vote for it. Oh, no. Because of those provisions that they put in there for her and Alaskans. And I understand, you know, all people in this country who are, you know, facing hardship will suffer, not just Alaskans, but she decided that she will vote for it, even though she knows. Man, I tell you. Yeah. In this first hour, I'm going to do a piece from sorry, fell. I just got to get it to somehow. Yes, okay, this is Substack. This comes out of Substack, and I hope you can check out Substack. And go to the website and become a member of Substack. There's four ways you can free, and there's some times you can pay for it, because there's good contributors to Substack. One of them is Dr. Stacy Patton. Her commentary is spicy. Yes, that's a good word for it, is spicy. I love it. I love her sarcasm. I love how she puts it out there. But the others that I've known and read before or listened to also on, and I chose them as well because I've seen them here before. Another one is Brother Khalil. He's a nice dude, and I like the way he puts stuff out there. Yeah. Where is he at? So make sure that you know. Gloria Murawski. Yeah. She shouldn't have done that. No, she shouldn't have done that. trying to find where my brother is. A Substack. Yeah, there he is, Khalil Green. Khalil Green. He writes an article on Pope Leo's African ancestors passed as Caucasians. Oh, really? Of course they did. Yeah. Of course their ancestors passed as Caucasians. They always do. Yeah, if they have a chance to. But this particular piece, Jimmy Swaggart just died at 90 years old. In the 80s, particularly in the 80s, televangelism was huge. And of course, there was a shift from the 70s, and many of the televangelists were very hardcore right wing. Jerry Falwell in the more majority, and many of them, Pat Robertson, you know. Most of them are deceased. A few of them are still hanging on and still getting big money buying jets. And, of course, there's some American Africans like, you know, Creflo Dollar, you know, some others. Not as big as they once were. Because some of them developed a channel like Pat Robertson did. And many others would join on that channel, the Christian channel. But the fact that many of our people, because we had bought into the Christian religion and believed what these people were saying, I think for many people, the crying of Jimmy Swaggart is most memorable. You know, when he said, "I've sinned before you," and he's crying, snot coming out of his nose. You know, his title is, "Jimmy Swaggart is Dead at 90, Black Folks Remember the Snot, the Scams, and the Soft Focus Salvation." Yeah. Yeah. From crying on TV to getting your grandmother's last $20, let's talk about the messy, hilarious history of 80s televangelism in Black households. I'll be real with y'all. I just found out he was even still alive. I agree, sister. I didn't know he was alive either. I thought white Jesus raptured him back in 87 after that snot-soaked "I Have Sinned" performance on TV. Now, if you're under 40, you may not understand how big these televangelists were in the 80s. They were huge. I was a little girl myself, but this was peak Holy Ghost primetime television. Okay, let me break it down as an all-star lineup for y'all. Jim Baker, he turned televangelism into Disneyland for Jesus, built Heritage USA, sold lifetime timeshares in heaven, and went to prison for fraud. I remember he was most embarrassed when he got arrested. Hiding. He was most, and of course his wife here, she writes on Tammy Faye Baker. Jim's wife and partner in crime, she was famous for mascara that ran down her face like the River Jordan every time she testified. Think of her as the patron saint of campy Christians. Yeah, Tammy Faye. Oral Roberts, the OG faith healer. And of course, you know, that was Oral Roberts University in Oklahoma. Pat Roberts, Oral Roberts. He was a faith healer with a direct line to God. Once said, the Lord would call him home if viewers didn't cough up 8 million. God has the world's worst loan shark. Because they didn't. No, they didn't reach that goal. And he still hung around. Pat Robertson, host of the 700 Club, one of the ones I hated, it was said that Haiti was cursed. Haiti was cursed. Yeah. Because they followed voodoo, you know, and deserved all the things that have happened to Haiti. Yeah. Founder of the Moral Majority, least televangelist, more political operative, who made Jesus sound like Ronald Reagan in a choir robe, Jerry Falwell. Kenneth Copeland, that's cat. Kenneth Copeland, the man who looked Satan dead in the eye and said, "I want a private jet." Still scamming in HD. Yeah. Paul and Gene Crouch, owners of TBN, that's the Christian Broadcasting Network, and the Christian QVC, where you can buy stuff. Jan's pink wigs were bigger than most prosperity preachers' bank accounts. They made religion look like the they make religion look like the Liberace design set. For those who are listening, don't know who Liberace was. He was an entertainer from Milwaukee, who was homosexual and was very ostentatious, candelabras, all kinds of rhinestones and so forth. Liberace. Yeah. Robert Tilton, the patron saint of late night infomercial scams. His face would twitch when the Holy Spirit hit him or when the checks cleared. Benny Hinn. Man, Benny Hinn. Yeah. International man of mystery who made karate chop demons. Who would karate chop demons out of you with his white suit jacket. Like televangelist, Mortal Kombat. Yeah, Benny Hinn was great for, you know, walking by you and moving his hand or hitting you with his jacket and you just fall out, you know. I mean, he was huge with that. And the interesting thing of most of those televangelists, especially when they had a revival or something, the number of us in the audience. I mean, filled with us in the audience. Because those shows were productions, this wasn't some sleepy Wednesday night Bible study in the drafty church basement. No, this was televised theater of salvation. Think about lightning alone. It was soft focus, halo-like. Every preacher bathed in holy fluorescence, looking like they had just stepped out of the transfiguration. The glow softened their wrinkles, their shine, their sins, their scams. It wasn't just practical. It was a psychological warfare. If the devil was darkness, then clearly these men were holy because they were lit up like Times Square. And the music, Lord, the music was half the hook. Giant choirs and color coordinated robes swaying in synchronicity like a sea of salvation. Hammond organs cranking up church in Dolby stereo. Emotional cues built in modulations to get you on your feet crying, speaking in tongues right in your own living room. You didn't have to leave the house to get saved or give all your money away. No bus fare. No judgmental wearing jeans or wearing sponge rollers or a bonnet on your head. Just you, your couch, your TV, and the Holy Ghost in 480p. Didn't have HD. Didn't have HD. And those shows were structured perfectly, calibrated emotional roller coasters. First, they hit you with a testimonial. Some poor soul would describe how they were addicted, broke, lost, and then they found this ministry. Cut to the choir, swelling behind him. The camera zooms in on trembling lips. And there was Jimmy Swaggart on the screen, sweating through a polyester suit while the camera zoomed in on those crocodile tears.
Oh, I sinned on you, my Lord.
Yeah. Jimmy had that Mississippi drawl that sounded like he was reading you a bedtime story about hellfire. He could play the piano while telling you that your soul was in danger unless you sent in that love offering. And let's not lie, a lot of folks loved it, or they loved to hate it. I'm not knocking people who believed. American African folks, black folks, were struggling in the 80s. Reaganomics, crack epidemic, police brutality, all kinds of stuff going on. Sometimes it felt like the only safe place was the church, whether in a pew or on a TV screen. And those televangelists knew that. They sold hope, redemption, and the healing lines where you will fall out and wake up wondering who took your wallet and wondering who took your wallet. Yeah. Let's also remember Swagger's infamous "I have sinned" meltdown. When he got caught with sex workers, he gave us the original viral apology video. Before YouTube existed, Jimmy Swaggart was YouTube. He cried so hard on TV, you could hear the snot bubbles. And black church folks watched it like it was a Super Bowl halftime show, complete with a side of complete with a side of potato salad. Well, I'll definitely take the side of potato salad, but not theirs. Tell you no damn raisins in the potato salad. Truth is, black folks have always had a complicated relationship with these Caucasian Southern preachers. They could be racist as hell on Sunday morning, but magnetic on Sunday TV, Sunday night. Swaggart's own son, Reverend Donnie Swaggart, caught heat for blasting American African churches for supporting Kamala Harris' bid for the presidency. Back in the 80s, black homes would be humming gospel chords. Jimmy stole from us while mailing him the last 20 in the house. We mailed him the last 20 in the house. He was part of that whole generation of prosperity pimps who sold a cross between therapy, entertainment, and a good old-fashioned Southern hustle. But here's the part that really sticks with me. Even after the sinning, people kept sending money because forgiveness sells even better than fear. And Jimmy knew it, and he bet on it. He was a preacher, but also a showman, a marketeer, a master manipulator of the American psyche. He understood that religion on TV wasn't just about God. It was about drama, music, lighting, emotional sales. So yes, Swaggart has died. And I'll offer a respect from Hey, sweetheart. I'll offer respect from Honestly, the man was a character in American African households. Some of our folks watched him, mocked him, believed him, cursed him, and imitated his ugly cry in the mirror. I just waited patiently in front of the tube, hoping some adult would finally change the channel to WWF so I could watch Dusty Rhodes or Ric Flair. Because I wasn't into Christianity. I'm an atheist. I was born into atheists. Swaggart was the original televangelist villain who taught us to use the side eye, every preacher with a Cadillac. He left behind a whole industry of money changers in the temple, some of whom still got their grandmama and auntie on auto pay. That's my sister, Dr. Patton. Yeah. Dr. Stacy Patton. That's, once again, you can catch her on Substack. S-U-B-S-T-A-C-K, Substack. Subscribe to it, family. And there's other people who subscribe to the forum. And good information. Substack. Yeah. Yeah. Give us a call. We got a good program today, I believe. I try. Give us a call. Our number's 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We got a caller. Brother Irv. Good morning, Brother Irv. Are you there? Okay.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, right. Like Papa Oshie. How are you?
I'm doing fine, dear brother. How you doing, man? What's happening?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, I'm listening, Baba Oshie.
Right,
I'm
just appreciate listening to you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You're putting out really good information.
Yeah.
You always do.
I try. I try to,
you always
try to be as informative as I can be, you know. But I like that sister out of Substack. She's hilarious to me, sir. Her commentary and all of the quips and that she uses. And yeah. So anyway.
Go ahead.
And so anyway, I'm there's other contributors to it. There's another brother, Khalil Green, really solid young brother. So other people with good commentary. And there's some Caucasians that I've read or listened to, too, that are on it. So it's a pretty straight ahead. It's not going to be on the conservative tip or really on the liberal tip. It's just objective, you know, objective commentary. Yeah, but I'm going to talk about after the break, the Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda, and how they went to Trump, the United States, to broker a peace, and Trump has cut a deal for the Congo's mineral wealth. This is just bothering the hell out of me, man. You know why the Congo and Rwanda with Paul Kagame's ass? I've heard some bad things about him. I looked at him early on in the last few years because of how he has transformed Rwanda and how Rwanda looks, the cleanliness of it, and how, you know. But I heard that he has done some dastardly things, and now it has been confirmed. He is not. He's an enemy. Paul Kagame is an enemy. And I can't stand his ass, and nor can I stand Felix, the leader of the Democratic Republic of Congo, for selling out, particularly to the United States, to Trump. The Congo is the most mentally rich country on the continent. The Congo is in the middle of the continent, is in the middle. That's what Leopold of Belgium had. Everybody else, they didn't know it at the time. And then, you know, I'm quite sure he didn't know it at the time either, you know. But he got the Congo, which he abused, some argue, anywhere between 15 to 25 million Africans were murdered. Hands and feet were cut off. They used to sell chocolate hands. This is how evil these people are. They used to sell chocolate hands in Belgium. In fact, Belgium chocolate. Because why? They get all of the cocoa from Africa and they send it to Belgium. You know? Man, I'm just so tired of this shit. I'm telling you, man, this infuriated me. I'm going to play a piece, and it's a decent piece of like about 12 minutes on How does this happen? And of course, if you can go to YouTube, there's a lot of good information, of course, on YouTube. I'm always saying that, and that's true. And but
by the way, let me interject really quickly. You're sure. Absolutely correct. I've been following the situation in the Congo for a good little while. They were stealing minerals. I think it was Rwanda. They were stealing minerals, and they were saying it's the MB-13 or some
right,
other
exactly.
Group.
Right, the M-23.
M-23. That's all fake. What they've done is what Dr. Henry Clark has spoke about many a times. He said, don't ever let the Caucasian come and mediate your differences.
That's right.
Don't ever bring, come on down, don't bring these Caucasians in here to help you solve a problem between you and your brethren.
That's right.
You don't see Caucasians calling on Africans to solve the problem between them.
Never.
I mean, even in this country with the Republicans and the Democrats, these are white people fighting white people. They're the only black people involved in it are the integrationists, are the ones who want they want to have all the things they believe that the white people have. But what you got to understand when you go and try to accept someone else's lifestyle or someone else's situation, you take on the bad things as well as the good things. Mm-hmm. You know, these Caucasians are very flawed.
Yeah.
They're very flawed. Yeah. And Baba Oshi, really, I'm not going to change the subject because it's so much to talk about. But when you see people moving the way the Caucasian is moving with such drastic measures that they're doing, they're taking a broad brush to this system of government that they have, a broad brush. They're not surgically removing the things they don't like. They're just removing all of it. You know, they had a bomb in this country that can go through the front door and come out the back door. I'm not lying. That's how advanced this country is.
Oh yeah.
But yet you come and you blow up, these people overseas to blow up their bombs and all that type of stuff. You just wipe them all out.
Mm.
And it's the same thing they're doing in this country with this system of government. They're wiping out a lot of things in this government, but the ones that they're wiping out the most are the people with melanin. If everybody's being affected, why aren't the white people so upset that they're taking to the streets, that you're cutting their Social Security, that you're cutting their Medicaid? And I'm going to tell you why, Baba Oshi. Because they would rather not have anything than to see you have anything more than they have.
And it's
interestingly weird that you would cut off your whole damn head off just to get to them, those melanated people, man, because it's really because of the fear. Mm-hmm. And Baba Oshi, I say this all the time. White people are so afraid that we're going to do to them what they did to us.
That's right.
And the reason is because they cannot survive it. We are such a strong people. We survived hundreds of years of slavery. Did you survive that? I mean, living on the dirt. I mean, working from sun up to sundown. I mean, eating the fat back that was thrown out the back door. I mean, watching your people be raped and perversion all over the place with these psychopaths that we live with.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it like that because these are the things that the integrationists don't want to talk about. Oh, they're not that bad. Baba Oshi, there's some good ones. Haven't you met some good ones? You work with white people. All of them ain't bad.
Yeah, right.
It's the system, Baba.
Yeah.
The system. It's the system of racism, white supremacy. I didn't say John, Bob, Dick, Peter, Paul, and Mary. Oh, I'm sorry. Those are biblical figures, aren't they? Peter, Paul, and Mary. Well, I had them on my job, too. So I got biblical figures on my job. So my point is, Baba Oshi, the Caucasian is so off center right now. The only people that on TV with melanin in their skin that appear to look like they have it together are the integrationists. The nationalists, you don't see nationalism on television. You don't, other than Jews, you know, a Jew can be in this country and that country at the same time.
Right.
We can't have dual citizenship for Africa. Or can we?
Well, we
you
can.
You know, so my point is.
We're fighting for it. I know That's what was offered in Ghana some years ago, and they fought for it, that you can have dual citizenship. I'm not sure if it is recognized because of how this country is, how America is, especially for us.
Robert Oshie, I'm going to get off. I want someone. I want other people to call if they are listening, but I want to really quickly say this. Something happened the other day that is very suspicious to me. Something happened that woke me up, because I see a lot of things and I hear a lot. I've been around for a little while, not long, but a little while. But I saw something in New York where a socialist was elected. He's called, they labeled him a socialist.
Right.
Because he said, if Netanyahu came to the United States, if he came to New York and I'm the mayor, I would have him arrested. Mm. And he got voted in.
Yeah.
So what's happening is, and you don't have the what is that called in the Congress, the black something,
the caucus.
Group of black people in Congress.
Yeah, the caucus.
You don't have the caucus say that. You won't have the melanated black people say we're tired of sending out money to Israel, because they take money from CPAC.
Right.
But this Arab said, I am sick of it. It does not make any sense. We are being pimped by these people. But the black people in the integrationists, they refuse to go head on against these Caucasians because they're connected emotionally, they're connected economically, they're connected, because that's what integration is. Integration is a blending. But what happens is someone has to lose their identity. Someone has to assimilate. And forced assimilation is what the school I went to, the elementary and high schools, that's forced assimilation as far as I'm concerned, because I don't know no goddamn George Washington.
Yeah.
But my point is, we as American Africans have to take this hair off our head, take these eyelashes off our eyelashes. The black men have to take these European clothes. I look so good in this G-Coos cute. And I keep harping on that, because what happens is we wear our oppression on our head. We walk around with our oppression on our body, and we don't even see that white people don't see you as an equal. They don't see you, but they still see you as they've always seen you,
right,
as someone who wants to be me.
Right.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Come on, Bible.
Human, man.
We've never been labeled a stupid people. We've never been labeled a people who can't figure things out, i.e., George Washington Carver, i.e. anyone that's in slavery that has invented things. Mm-hmm. But when you stand up here with your makeup on and the brothers standing with their suits on, and they, if you close your eyes, you may even think it's a Caucasian speaking.
Yeah.
So I think we have an identity, and I think our identity is written in stone. That's why the ancestors wrote in stone, so they never can get rid of it. Yes. So we have to realize that. Mm-hmm. And build on that, which we are now. Because don't get me wrong, we're not. If you notice, I'm not sitting here telling you everything that's wrong with black people, because there ain't a damn thing wrong with us. We know exactly what we're doing. We're surviving, and we don't have to do that. We can do much better than just survive, because we've already done that. Because you know, like I know, we should have been gone. We should have been extinct. We shouldn't even be in this country. But we're still here. We're still talking. We're still learning, and we're still together. I speak that into existence, because we are together. In spite of all the weaponization of religion and the weaponization of economics and the weaponization of anything that white people can use to weaponize against us, we're still here.
We're still here.
And we're still viable. And we're still moving forward, and they are still scared. Not, why don't they love us? Why are you afraid of me?
Yeah, I don't give a damn about love us, shit. But I understand why they're afraid of us, too, though. But okay, my brother. Peace to you, man. Stay online.
I'm listening, man. All right, brother. Put me on mute.
Okay. All right, family. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Oh,
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Laws family. Yes, right. I play that. I know there are a lot of families are going to be getting together for the 4th of July and this weekend. So family, yes, that's important. The Hubert Laws, who is on flute. I heard it pronounced flautist. You know, I don't know if it's a thing. If it's a woman playing, it's a flautist. If a man's playing, it's a flutist. I don't know. It's a flute. And he's outstanding. Ronnie Laws on saxophone. Ronnie L. Laws used to play with Earth, Wind, and Fire way back in the day in the 70s. Eloise Laws, a vocalist and with a career spanning various genres, including soul and jazz. And Deborah Laws, who you heard on this piece, Family, and known for her work in R&B, including collaborations with her siblings. That's right. Out of Houston, Texas, the Laws family. Family. Yeah. Talk about this foolishness that's happened with Trump. That's the part that's really got me, family. That's the part that's really got me. And I don't know if you saw it. I know they played it a few times. There's a sister. She's a nice-looking sister, and he makes compliments to her, and jokingly and so forth. Has her come in, stand by him. I hate Trump. I hate Donald Trump with a damn passion. We're going to play this. Brother Paul sent me this, and it's a lengthy piece, but in fact, it's a shorter piece. I wanted to play it in length because I think it's pointed in terms of what it's saying. And
this is definitely a bad day. It's a sad day for the continent of Africa. It's a sad day for Cape Verde, the Garden of Eden. And the reason is obvious. It's obvious, Your Majesties. It's not new to you, the conflict in the Congo. It's not something that is new because it has been existing for some time now. And to see that Congo had finally signed away the future of their great-grandchildren and their grandchildren and their children is something that brings tears to the eyes of Pan-Africans across the globe. And I said, why not we have a discussion about this here and you leave your thoughts and opinion there at the section. Your Majesties, Kings and Queens, welcome back to the channel. Thank you so much for always returning. Trust you and yourself well and you loving yourself and others like always. Many thanks to all of you for the support you give to the channel. Thank you so much to our channel members, to our anonymous supporters, to all of you mighty subscribers, you're not celebrated and of course appreciated. Your Majesties, I am short of words at this point because sometimes when you think that we are finally heading to that final destination of our liberation, something step in and draw you 10 times backward. And that is always the situation of Africa, especially not that of the Sahel anyway, because the three wise men down the Sahel at this point have made up their mind. You see the way they are growing because they are no more in the hold of these puppet years of colonial masters. They are not in that anymore. While we have these Sahel leaders, these Sahel three wise men doing wonders, we have our democratic, super democratic leaders not knowing how to solve the problems of their nations and still falling into the trap of those who are the orchestrators of the destruction of the motherland. It is quite unfortunate that we still have Africans who are happy that the United States of America has finally taken over the minerals in the Congo. They are happy. That's okay, America had now finally come to fight this battle for us. It is unfortunate and it is a shame to us as Africans that we cannot solve our problems, but we have to involve foreign bodies to help solve problems for us. It is unfortunate that we have leaders like Tshisekedi, we have leaders like Paul Kagame, who cannot sit down, have a roundtable discussion and solve the problem of their nation. It is unfortunate that we have Rwandese, we have Congolese who have bent their head in fighting. They have vowed that they will never seek for peace until the foreign body comes to intervene. It is unfortunate. And now that foreign bodies are involved, they are coming down. So you want to tell me that as Africans, we cannot solve our problems until the white man is involved. This is the reason why they always think they have upper hand over you. Why? Because you see, have Africans who feel that if the white man is not involved, then it's not going to work. It is quite unfortunate, Your Majesty. It is with heavy hearts that I'm having this discussion today, because when you look at the situation of the Congo, like I told you from the beginning, it has been happening for a long time now. The situation of the Congo, the conflicts of the Congo has been happening. A lot of Pan-Africans have come up and did their own analyzing. They have said what they want to say. Congolese accuse Rwandese. Rwandese accuse Congolese. And then you sit and ask yourself, what is really the cause of this problem? You go back into history, you do your own research, you see that, okay, Your Majesties, at this point, we are not ready to throw blames at each other. But what we are saying is, why can't we solve our own problems? That we are signing away the future of our children, signing away the future of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Tshisekedi and Paul Kagame would soon leave this physical plane. And who are those that will suffer? They are children. Our children. We are the ones that will suffer. This is a situation that we are trying to analyze here. What do you think, Your Majesty, is about the situation in the Congo? And for Tshisekedi to feel that signing out these resources to America is a way out. We have the Sahel successfully kicking out to Europe and America and the hold of colonial masters. And then we have these leaders, okay, in Central Africa, in East Africa, in North Africa, holding on to these colonial masters. What is really the cause of our problems? Your Majesties, I don't know what we want anymore. Anyway, let's listen to Donald Trump himself, and then we listen to some Pan-Africans analyze the situation, Your Majesties.
We're getting for the United States a lot of the mineral rights from the Congo as part of it. They're so honored to be here. They never thought they'd be coming to. Look, this is a very tough part of the world. They never thought, they were just telling me, they never thought they'd ever be coming to the White House. And they're so honored. And so we're going to give them a great big reception. But that's after many years of fighting.
Finally, the deal is done. The deal is signed. I am so upset, I'm so sad, I'm so mad, I have no words to express how terrible this situation, this agreement, this whole thing that Congo just did is. After so much talk and so much explanation analysis, DRC Congo decided to sell and give up their own portion of Africa. The map of Africa is no longer complete because we see what happened between Iran and US. Iran decided to keep the entirety of their oil, their uranium, and all their mineral resources. They fought for it over the years. And at the same time, Africa, that is like a fight between husband and wife, Rwanda and Congo, they could not come to peace agreement by themselves, and nobody in Africa could settle them until they have to invite the United States of America to settle them, to cut out the peace deal in Congo. Congo is one of the richest country with mineral. Congo, as a matter of fact, has what it takes to manage the entire Africa. But a few weeks ago, I did a video on Congo, what they were about to do. And some of you were sending me messages that it's not real, it can never happen. What did you see today? They have just penned. They have just signed. Just about 3 or 4 days ago, I did a video warning Africa to be careful about signing a lot of things, especially in desperation. Now you see all of them pack themselves in overall office, smiling and excited and saying, oh, glory be to God, we are able to come to overall office. We are able to see White House. We are able to see this. So they were so carried away by emotion. Listen. While U.S. is smiling to bank and securing the future of their citizens and their unborn children, Rwanda and Congo, they are depriving the next generation of the opportunity to live a good life. And now who are the people fighting without stopping? They are the people between the age of 18 and 30. These are the people that won't allow Congo and Rwanda to have peace with all manner of bloodshed for over 21 years or thereabout. And who are the people they are fighting for? They are fighting to defend the people that are over 60, people that are going on the other side of life. What a disappointment in Africa today. This is not in any way to blame the United States of America. Donald Trump is doing what is best for America. Is doing what is best for the United States of America. Is doing what is best for the Western world. But our people are signing away the future of Africa. They are dismantling the future of Africa. They are messing up the future of Africa. This is just unbelievable. Where do we stop from here? And that is why Africa Human Capacity Development Initiative is a must. Right now, if you love Africa and you want the best for Africa, this is the time for you to support Africa Human Capacity Development. This is the time for you to say, this is where I belong in this initiative. I'm looking for individual that will come on their own conglomerates, institutions that will come and say, we want to develop our people. This is bad. I wanted to share this. Here is my question. Should we continue in this direction? Is this the best way to build a nation, a continent? When we cannot just stop fighting ourselves, we are divided by politics, by religion, by clan, by ethnicity. What? President Felix, what? Kagame, what? Dr. Paul Kagame, what? What are both of you looking for? What are you looking for? This is an embarrassment to the entire continent and to the entire world. The world is laughing at us. They are laughing at us. Look at these people. They just want to take pictures in the White House. Look at these people. We have betray our intellectual capacity. We have betrayed the next generation. This is a mess.
Royal Majesties, this is quite unfortunate. And you heard what Donald Trump said, the president of the United States of America. You heard what he said. So Africans are just in awe of the White House, and they're just so happy that they've been to the White House. So let's say the White House is now the heaven, right? So Africans are happy that they've been there. And to them, that is an achievement. And giving out their resources is not a problem. It is this kind of Africans that we have that make the world ridicule Africa. It is unfortunate. And you're sitting down there telling us that democracy...
Yeah, I'm in that right there. This is tough, family. This is extremely tough at this stage when all that is happening around. And Paul Kagame should definitely know better. But it proves that he is a snake that he is. Yes, I applaud him for what he's done in Rwanda. I don't know if he did it in a way that was amenable to all the people of Rwanda. I'm not sure if it's done in dictatorial. I don't know. But what I do know, what he did in the Congo, you know, in fact, says Trump businesses for security dealt effectively rewards Rwanda for invading and occupying and looting the Congo. I remember a good brother from Friends of the Congo talking with him about this, not necessarily about this particular situation, but about the Congo being in tough situations and why that is. And he mentioned that because I didn't know about Rwanda's activity in the Congo until that time. You know, I knew what Rwanda went through with Burundi, you know, with the Hutus and the Tutsis. And that is part of it, family. That is still a lingering part of it. There has to come. Now, see, this is such a serious setback. A serious setback. Because of the vast mineral wealth, and I'm not sure of the amount of time or years, you know. Yeah. Let us know what you think. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I'm very mad, and I'm definitely trying to compose myself. Go ahead, Brother Irv.
Baba Oshie, this is a major setback. Not that we haven't had setbacks before in our journey to revolution, in this self-determination, in this sovereignty road that we're going down. But this is a major setback. And the reason it's a major setback, Baba Oshie, because the same people that have enslaved your country, the same people that have come in your country and stolen for years, you are still turning to these people to help you. And and whenever you have someone help you in the fight against your brother, it reminded me, Baba Oshie, when the Kenya sent troops to Haiti. I don't understand when you're fighting, first of all, fighting your brother. I understand we may have a disagreement. We may even kill each other. But we're still brothers. But when you bring a Caucasian into the mix, Baba Oshie, and when you do it underhandedly, because this bothers me to the point, Baba Oshie, where I can't even speak, really have a conversation about it, because it's so cut and dry. It's not like maybe they did it and maybe they didn't. No, Baba Oshie, this is right out in front of you, and mm-hmm. it's business as usual for the United States.
Yeah.
This is what they've been doing. They're playing Africa as if they're idiots, as if they have no idea and they can't do for yourself. You know, I need you to get me through the day. I don't need you. Need me. Yeah. This is the part that takes me that confuses me. How do you not see that your currency is not money? Your currency is your resources. And once you give those resources up for 20 years, 10 years, even a lease, you've given away all your bargaining chips. You have nothing else to bargain with. Caucasian don't want to marry your women. The Caucasian doesn't want to live there in Africa. They want to take your resources and bring them back to where they're from. Belgium never moved into Africa. Belgium just raped Africa and took everything back to Belgium. You want to see your artifacts, you can go see them in the museums in Belgium and make sure they're okay, because they're not going to give them back. You have to take them back. So no, Oshie, I'm just as upset as you are, and I'm lost for words at this point. Now that happens very seldom, but I just cannot put it together to say how disappointed I am in the fact that an educated African, we're not stupid, and you see what's being done. But when you're in it for your own greed, if you're in it for just taking care of you, then these are the things that you do. You're not doing for the good of the people. Baba Oshie, this is devastating.
It really is devastating. Considering the fact that you have many countries who are coming together, who are willing to work together to control their land, control their resources, and benefit their people. And here, the Democratic Republic of Congo, they know, everybody, the world knows, this is the most plentiful, rich resources on the continent, in the world. Not on the continent, but in the world. In the world. And why Paul Kagame out of Rwanda was doing this? Because he's an agent. He's an agent. And a deal had to be struck. This is, you know, what is necessary on the continent is a real African union. Not the damn AU that came up with this Africa Day bullshit. Not them. Mm. That eliminated the word liberation, because that's what it needs. If Africa was liberated, you wouldn't have this situation. You wouldn't that's have right. it. Because they, you know, the Berlin Conference came in and carved up Africa like a cake. And many Africans at the times of gaining independence, some went with throwing off these boundaries, throwing off the shekels and unifying. Others went, well, let's not go there yet. Let's just see, you know, keeping these artificial boundaries and keeping whatever they had to themselves. And not understanding that if you had a unified Africa, respectful of traditions, respectful of your theology, respectful of your customs, but more important that you are, you have these, that you're African. That you're African. And you come together on that point to do the business with anybody outside of Africa, justly. If you want something, you're going to pay fair market value. Here, this man is ripping the Congo, the heart of Africa, the most wealthiest part of the continent, off. Trump. Shit.
Oh, she hold on.
Yeah.
Baba Oshie, I'm laughing, but I'm actually crying inside, because we're going to overcome this. Let's be perfectly clear. But people are going to die. People are going to suffer because of this decision. These are life and death decisions for Africa. We don't have another 200-300 years for white folks to pillage through our continent, through our homeland. We don't have that.
We
will not survive that. But what we can do right now is deal with deal with what we have in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
This person, these people have to be dealt with. It's not something we can overlook and say, oh, it'll be all right. Mm-hmm. They're only going to take a few minerals. They're not going to be here that long. We can't do that. This must be dealt with, because you need to run the Erugu out of Africa.
That's right.
And Burkina Faso passed a law, I heard on the internet yesterday, that outside, anyone that's not from Africa cannot buy land in Burkina Faso. You can lease it, but you can't buy land.
Right.
You can't own it.
You shouldn't.
That's the way it should be. If you own land, you know, and it reminds me of what happens here on a different level, where you have Arabs and Koreans having stores in your so-called neighborhood.
Well, see,
and you.
That's it, because America has been for sale, and outside entities have been buying up America, because all America knows is greed. And since the, I'd say, 70s for sure, up to this present point, you know, many buildings, many properties in the city of New York are owned not by New Yorkers or not by people from the United States, but outside interests. Arabs, Saudis, Europeans, British. The point being is that these folks, they're for sale, and they're willing to trade and barter with anybody. It is not in them to do what is right. It is not in them. It is not a part of who they are as a people. These are some evil, devious-ass people, you know. and that's what's important to them. You know, that's why you can, that's why you see how bad it is economically and how bad it's going to be, particularly with this bill being signed for many people. And many people believed that Donald Trump, damn, how stupid can you be that this man has been lying? Brother Irv, this is just too ridiculous, man. Too ridiculous. How?
Bob, you can't make this up, Bob.
I know, man.
You can't. We've watched. We've been as black people. We've been through Dallas, Knots Landing. We've been through all the soap operas, and those are supposedly fictitious situations. Right. But this real life situation you have right here,
stranger than fiction.
That's going to with a TV show is a commercial that comes back next week.
Yeah.
But in real life, people are going to die. Children aren't going to have food to eat, medicine to get. To judge a nation or a society is how do you treat your old people and how you treat your sick people. And they're treating these people as if they don't count. And the only reason I'm here is because someone didn't throw me in a dumpster as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone didn't drag me behind a truck down in Alabama because they felt like it. So what's happening now is Caucasians are turning inward. They're turning on themselves. And we are caught in the middle as assimilationists, as integrationists. And I keep harping on that, Baba Oshie, because we, I'm going to speak about myself, have been indoctrinated to believe that white is good. Mm-hmm. White people are really good people. They are. Look what they've done for us.
Yeah, right.
They really, I mean, if you get past all the Trumps and all the Bushes and all the they are really good people. And why? Because they said they were. They said they put those people on that mountain, Mount Rushmore, because they're good people. Really, Baba Oshie? Is that why they're up there? So these people are full of themselves, and they want you to go along with it.
Right.
And now they're in Africa, and Africans, if an African doesn't know how evil a white man is, then who does? These are people who have been led out of their country in chains and put on ships. This ain't something I'm making up.
Yep.
This is real. And we're not talking 7 million.
Yeah.
7 million is nothing compared to 60 million black people who laid a carpet of blood across the Atlantic slave trade across from one country to another. That's why I don't go in the goddamn beach. The beach ain't nothing but my ancestors' bones I'm jumping up and down on.
And but also,
so to be real.
Also, to the colonization. Also, to the colonization of Africa to up to the points of the 60s. That's why I'm saying those lines that they drew at the Berlin's Conference of 1884-85 are still there. The brothers and sisters did not eliminate that and said, hey, let's redraw this. Let's redraw.
Yes.
Let us come together. Let's do this to make sure that we're encompassing families. We're encompassing different ethnic groups within these regions, as opposed to this little state here and this little state there, this little country here. This stuff. No, but we didn't do that. Those brothers who were the majority who voted in the keeping of the way it was designed by Europeans, as opposed to making it different the way it could be for Africans. Let me take another couple of calls.
Yes, do that. Yeah, put
please.
Me on mute. Yes,
all right.
Yes, please.
Good afternoon.
Yo, what's happening, Oshie?
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. Can't call it, really. But listen, I saw this last night, but I didn't pay attention to it. About what the Congo is trying to do with this dirtbag, man. You know, it just goes to show the corrupt leadership that we have over in Africa and the lack of vision. Because Touré is giving them the perfect example in Burkina Faso, what you're supposed to do with your minerals. And I'm pretty sure that Russia and China would have gave them a better deal than America would. It's just sad. But then again, you got a lot of Congolese people here in America, so I mean, I don't know, but I wouldn't have done the deal.
No, oh, hell with no. Have Donald Trump bargain for you, who's supposed to be the man who has the art of the deal, with his losing bankrupt ass? No, his lying ass? No, I would have never have ever allowed him to in my country. Never, never. And now I don't know what the particulars of the peace deal is, you know, but the deal was signed, and it looks like
it's not going to benefit the Congolese people in any way on the nature in which it should. I mean, I've never saw where America has given the African nation a fair deal. That's just not something that happens. Now, has China and Russia given African nations better deals? Yes. But the question is how you negotiate with what you have in the threat that America may militarily attack them or take sides with Rwanda. But we don't know what type of mineral wealth that Rwanda has. I mean, we know what Congo has. So, I mean, it's just basically a tragedy for African people.
It's a sad day.
In regards to where we are.
It's a sad day. All right.
It's beyond a sad day. But, I mean, it just goes to show what happens when you deal with corrupt leadership, older leadership with no vision, compared to younger leadership with a vision and a true desire to be sovereign and free from your oppressor.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, you know, the bottom line is on the continent is going to have to wake up and accept the fact that their former oppressor is still their oppressor and nothing's going to change. I mean, just look at the whole relationship with France and Burkina Faso and Mali and Niger, people that done kicked them out. They now putting forward propaganda, and you don't know at what time they may attack the people of Burkina Faso and those other nations, because of the simple fact they want to be able to control the mineral wealth of that continent.
Right.
And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They're not going to allow it to happen, and I don't blame them.
All right.
I'll talk to you.
All right, Jay. Good afternoon. Hey, Paul, is that you?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hey, brother.
Yeah, Grand Rising. Baba Ochu, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Let me make some interesting points on the piece you played here. It is very frustrating when you look at it at a face value. It's been a long time in the makeup. That region is a very complicated region. I spoke to you on this before. You have the Blair Foundation, Tony Blair, who I would describe as some sort of mentor or direction for Paul Kagame. Most people, you don't hear his name called. You won't find much about it on the internet. But for a long time, the Blair Foundation has been in that area. Previous to that, we know that Paul Kagame was involved in the overthrow of the officially elected government, where the government died in a plane crash. And what we understand is that that was done with the help of France, the French, and the Americans. And while I say that, let's not forget that Paul Kagame spent time in America being trained by America. So the point I'm trying to make here is this is a long time in the making. Mm-hmm. If I listen to some of the brothers who contribute to programs on this side of the pond who come out of that region, born in Belgium but come from the Congo, Brother Irv said something what made me think, and it kind of contradicts what they're saying. He says, why can't they see us as our brothers? Listen, you know, America is based on race, you know, fiefdom of a human being, all that nonsense. That's what America's based on. But these places, they're not like America. You see, the conversations tend to see it from Americanization eyes. Look, in Africa, let me just Africate the people. It's not speaking to you per se. Let me just put it out there and make it clear. Race is not the problem in Africa, okay? If you could be black as me, right? An Arab, you classify yourself as Arab. They look as down on Africans worse than a dog. That's the reality. I don't think you is assimilating there.
Well, you know, I noticed.
It's worse than race.
Yeah,
Worse than race.
I noticed that. Okay? I noticed that in the Sudan, when the before it became North and South Sudan.
It's not just in the Sudan.
No, I know it's not, Paul. But hold on. But what I'm saying is,
it's in Nigeria.
Right.
It's all over.
But the point I'm making, it was deeply high. Paul, hold on, please. What I'm saying is, it was highlighted because it is systemic throughout the continent. But it was highlighted in the Sudan because the Sudanese, prior to South Sudan being created, are dark-skinned people, but yet they didn't classify themselves as black. The leader classified himself as an Arab.
Yeah.
I mean, well, if he didn't open his mouth and he came to America or he came to the South or he came to New York, he'd be a, you know. So the point I'm making, but that's systemic throughout the continent. Just like I asked my lady, I said, you know, what's interesting is that when you see a lot of sisters in Nigeria and other countries, they look real light. They must have gone through some bleaching process. The women look very light on TV and so forth. But reality is, you know, but this is the problem that European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege has done to us. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes. Well, let me just put it this way. The Arabization of Africa came long before the Europeans arrived in Africa. That's a fact.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, right. So you can't just say the white people, these Arabs, some of them, like I say, are blacker than me and you.
Right.
Okay. But what the point I'm trying to make is if one doesn't understand the complexities of that, that's not to do with race. That's to do with some crazy ass ideology which these people bred. Now, let me say this, and people, I don't want to offend anybody, but I have to talk the damn truth. Where did that come from? It came out of Islam. Did it? Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Did it come from Islam, Baba Ochi?
You broke up on me, Paul. You broke up on me.
I'm asking you the question.
You broke up on me. Say it again.
You might not agree with that.
Paul, I didn't hear you because you broke up on me.
I'm asking you.
Please ask
me. I'm asking you the question, Baba Ochi.
Okay, please. Ask me the question. Yeah.
Did it come from Islam is what I'm asking.
Did it come from Islam?
Did it come from Islam?
Islam was created in that part of the world.
Islam was created.
Yes. But one could argue, especially for Muslims, they would argue, no, that it didn't. That prejudice, that bigotry, that racism came out of a people who believed that they were lighter skinned and more favored, and they were better than dark skinned people. That's how that happened. Yes. Because it's the same
thing.
The thing
what I'm trying to point out here. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Hello?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. What I'm trying to point out here, my Baba Ochi, is this, yeah? Islam came about in the 7th century, yeah?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And according to them, it was there to civilize the Arab, you know, to make him in line with the one idea of God, okay? But in truth, right, they'll tell you, yeah, they do accept parts of the Bible. And in the Bible, you've got the curse of Ham, okay? The Hamites.
Mm-hmm.
Curse of Ham. Is that not true?
That's true.
Right? Which some people suggest that we today are the results of that. Is that not true?
That's true.
The point I'm trying to make is this, yeah? In that region, ain't nothing to do with race. is to do with some crazy ass ideology, which many of us today who look like us still buy into. You have them on this radio platform. They still buy into that madness. Okay? That's the reality we're facing. So on the African continent, not just the Sudan, even Nigeria, with Boko Haram, last week, right, or the week before, 200 women and children were murdered off the planet, just slaughtered by people who were like me and you, okay? But you didn't hear about that. No one's talking about that.
Didn't hear about
just
it.
Just bombed,
hear
killed,
about
macheted, and cut to death in Nigeria. Northern Nigeria, that happened. With the sympathizers to Boko Haram, the Islamist jihadists, okay? That's the reality we're facing. So it's not just about race. It's about sick-ass people. Because most of the religious people, between me and you, are sick.
Oh, yeah.
Today, and I don't care if I like it or not, they are sick. You have a conversation with them, the fantasy what comes out of their mouth makes sense. I hear them on your radio program. I say to myself, are these people right in the head? They really accept that nonsense. And that's the problem we got. And that problem is bigger than race. Trust me on that. It's bigger than race. Much deeper than race. And until we face up to it, let me tell you something. You see that piece you played, yeah? Paul Kagame. This is what some of these people who have fled that region say. This is what some of them say. I hear them on Sunday. They say he looks black like me and you. They say he's not African. This is what they
say. They say Paul Kagame is not African.
Listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm just repeating what they say. They phone up our local radio station. They come from that region. They say they are not Africans. Listen to what I'm telling you. They say they emanate from Syria. That's where their bloodline comes from. Now I can't verify this because you look black like just me. This is what they're saying. And I tell you, the mere fact that they've had to run for their lives and flee their country because of those people, you can't tell them that they're brothers. There's no way on this planet to convince them that they're their brothers. It's not going to happen. Right, let me give another example of what I'm talking about. I sit among some Igbo groups, right? And I've seen pictures of the slaughter which is happening today in Nigeria. Today! Not last year, not 100 years ago, today. Right? And they talk about the Fulani herdsmen. But again, jihadists, Muslims. Okay? Right? They talk about it, how they take over their land, they kill the people, murder them. Don't care if you're man, woman, or child. That's what's happening today. But who's talking about it? No, we're just chasing the headlines and pretending it's all about race. It's not just about race. It's about some psychopathic ideology that a lot of us are carrying, whether it be Christian or Islam or whatever damn it is. Okay? And that's the madness
Christian,
going
Islam,
on among us.
Judaism, all of it. Ain't nothing. Just as Paul, just as Dr. John Henry Clark said, all of them ain't nothing but chauvinistic murder cults. That's what they are. Chauvinistic murder cults.
Thank you for quoting that genius, because it's the absolute truth. Psychopathic, crazy people coming up talking like they've got sense. Oh yeah, this is me. You ain't got no sense. You should be in the lunatic asylum. Now, I know that sounds harsh, but I have to talk the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
I say.
Because this is the problem. This is the problem, my brother. It's not just about race. If it was just about race, we'd have overcome this long time ago. It's about the psychopaths among us who look like us. Okay? So why are they able to creep in? Because you think they're just like you. But they've been totally dirtied out of their mind. Okay? So that you let them, you let in, and they talk. Telling you about their hocus pocus and fairy tales, and they actually convince you they're talking sense. They actually convince you they're talking sense, and they ain't talking no damn sense. How are you talking sense? You're telling me about an ideology which came in and robbed you, murdered you, raped you, turned your men into eunuchs, and then you're here preaching, telling me that's the way to go. You some damn fool. Right, that's where we are. I'm gonna just leave it there, because that's how I feel about it. Thank you for giving me the time.
All right, Brother Paul, appreciate you, man. Let me get Brother Ted Lux again here. Ted, Brother Ted, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Baba Oshie. I chimed in real late and I was on and off, so I'm just going to wait till Friday.
All right, Ted.
Get in.
All
but
right.
As always, late in conversation. I loved it.
Thank you. Thank you, dear brother. We'll be back on the 4th of July.
Yes.
On the 4th of July. I appreciate you, man. All right. Yes, you were right. We're at that top of the hour. were at that time. And really appreciate all those who have called in. And, yeah, we really do appreciate all those who called in and all those who listen to this program. I can't thank you enough for your support. And I hope I tried to give you perspectives that you can truly understand and hopefully build on. We need independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora. That's what it is about at this time. The still belief that because you're Arab, or you've been Arabized, or you're Islamic, or you follow Islam, you know, that somehow you are better than Africans who don't follow Islam, or who don't follow a Christian religion or Hebrew religion or no religion at all, or who are spiritual or are tribal. I don't give a damn. We Africans, put that shit to the side. Put it, kick it to the curb, or just hold in your back pocket. I love Malcolm. I do. Malik El Shabazz, Brother Omar Wally, Malcolm Little, Malcolm, I love him because he said it best. When I come to this table, I'm not coming here espousing Islam. I'm not coming here, if I was Christian, talking about Christianity. I'm coming here as an African to work with other Africans to see what's best, what we can do for each other and us as a whole. Because they don't kill us because we're Christians or Muslims or Hebrew. They don't kill us because we're from Nigeria or Ghana or the United States or Jamaica or whatever. They kill us because we're Africans. And that's what we must begin to understand. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate it. Hope you're back on this Friday and next week, Monday, when I have Brother Kazimde Ajamu from the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar will be my guest in his new book, Trusting the Eyes Behind You. All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.